Okay, would you take out your message notes from your worship guide? Or no, we gave, no, this is all brand new today. Take your message notes out. And being that it's Father's Day, I wanted to share with you a little bit about biblical masculinity and the Father of Fathers. Our Abba Father is the Father of all fathers. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I am a uncle, and I am a spiritual father and a spiritual grandfather. And some of you are dads, stepdads, uncles, granddads yourself. Some of you might even be great-granddads. And so the message is for us, fellas, on biblical masculinity and what's expected of us by our wonderful Savior. But as we get into the message, I wanted to show you some photographs. Would you show the first photograph, please? As you can see there, there's a proud father and grandfather. He's holding this wonderful gift that his daughter Julie, who you see there, who's very photogenic, she and her family gave us this pillow that included not only her five children, but the other two that her sister has. Next photograph, please. The lovely lady over on the right, that is our firstborn. That's Mindy. And as you can see, Miss Photogenic is in the middle. And then on the left, you have Alina. And this is Mindy's firstborn. And she is going to be 17 years old tomorrow. Next photograph, please. Miss Photogenic is back in the pictures again. And she's with her brother. We have, Kathy and I have been blessed with two daughters and one son. So there's Ronnie and Julie. Next photograph, please. What you see there in the middle is Braylon. Braylon's 10 years old. And this is Mindy's second born, and she loves her cousins. On her right is Sophia, but we call her So-So. And on her left is her cousin, Riley. Riley is 4, and So-So is 2. And they have a wonderful time together. Next photograph, please. Here is what happened this past Christmas. Miss Photogenic on the far right, she went out and bought PJs for all of us that match. I think Ronnie was still sleeping or was too embarrassed to wear his. So you see in the back row a very pleased husband, father, and grandfather. And then right below him is his firstborn, our Kathy's and my firstborn granddaughter. And she's going to be 18 next month. Right next to her is who I introduced to you earlier, and that's Riley. And the night before, she turned 4 years old, Christmas Eve. She's sitting on the lap of her older brother, who is our firstborn grandson. He's 21 and attending UC Irvine. The girlfriend next to him is Ryan, our grandson's girlfriend. I don't think you've ever recognized her before. But she used to be my girlfriend, but she's become her grandson's girlfriend. In the back row on the far right, you have our second-born grandson, and we call him Shorty. He's only 6 feet 5 inches tall and 16 years old. And then in front of him, you saw So-So earlier, and Miss Photogenic, Julie, again. Next photograph, please. I talked about being a spiritual dad. I had the wonderful joy when I first met the Sarabis at a denominational breakfast. And at that breakfast, they made the mistake of saying they were going to come and be a part of GHCC, and they've been here, what, 6 years or something like that. But I was told soon after their arrival that Susan was informing me that I get to be her spiritual daddy. And you can't, maybe you can, if someone's ever come to you and said, I want you to be my spiritual daddy. But that's what she started calling me. And then over the years, we received Jason and Jaden, and I get to be called Papa by them. And I love it very, very much. And a picture that slipped my mind to be putting in there, you all know Eddie. And when I go to his sporting events, he introduces me as Papa. And people will ask, are you Eddie's dad? And I say, I don't have that privilege, but I'm his spiritual dad. So with all of these things going on in my life, it really saps the energy out of you. Next photograph. Now, I don't know what Mike, my son-in-law's problem is. He's just got two daughters. But there we are visiting, and that's where we spent the weekend, on the couch resting, getting my strength back, being a dad, a granddad, a spiritual daddy, all of those wonderful privileges that the Lord has given to me and to many of you. You know, Dad, never, never underestimate. Are you listening out there in cyberspace? Never underestimate the incredible influence that you are going to have on your children and even your grandchildren. It can make the difference between disaster in their lives as it can make the difference between disaster in their lives and success and pleasing the Lord. So your position as dad, granddad, stepdad, uncle is exceedingly important to our Heavenly Father. Men need to have all the support that they can get today. They really do. Politically correct voices throughout our American culture ridicule, vehemently ridicule everything that a traditional masculine father represents. My observation, as you look at your notes, and these are your fill-ins, since the 1960s, when the women's liberation movement declared war between the sexes, the very meaning of a good and decent man has been held up in scorn. It is now called toxic masculinity by the leftist liberal media, by the leftist liberal entertainment industry, and by most of those who claim to be social scientists. The social scientists and these other groups are doing what they can, whether they know it or not, or under the power of Satan, to destroy the American family, beginning with Dad. The fact is this: in August 2018, the American Psychological Association published an outrageous and widely read report titled APA Guidelines for Psychological Practice with Boys and Men. It echoed not only feminist hatred of traditional men, but identified itself entirely with the LGBT agenda. The APA writers were asserting that traditional fathers pose grave danger to their boys and must be stopped. You, Dad, are in their crosshairs. Psychologist Jordan Peterson wrote this about the APA. Quote, the Boys and Men document is a propagandistic to a degree that is almost incomprehensible, end of quote. He continued, quote, The authors are claiming that men who socialize their boys in the traditional manner, that is, teaching them to be strong, competitive, self-reliant, and God-fearing, destroy their mental health. Dad, stepdad, granddad, uncle, are you listening? Boys and girls watch their dads intently, day after day after day, noting every minor detail about you, about your behavior, your values. Your sons will imitate much of what you say and what you do. If you blow up regularly and scream at your wife, your boys are most likely going to treat their mother and other females that come into their lives with disrespect. If you drink to excess, your kids are going to be at risk for alcoholism and drug abuse. If you curse, you use profanity in the home, just with your sons when you're out together, smoke, or fight with your coworkers, your boys will probably follow suit. I remember my son when he was no more than 2 years old. I'm out mowing the front lawn. And who's right behind me? My little boy. He had picked a toy out of his toy chest that has a stick on it about this long. At this end, it has this great big bubble and wheels on each side. Inside that bubble are little plastic balls. And there's this thing inside that keeps smacking the balls up against the plastic bubble as you move the wheels along. So I'm out there mowing the lawn, and there he is right behind me. Pop, 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 pop. Did I ask him to go and do that? No. He just did it. I'm his dad. He was following along what he saw his dad doing. Dad, if you're selfish, if you're self-promoting, if you're mean, angry, you will see those characteristics being born in the next generation. But guys, fortunately, the converse is also true. The converse is also true. And if you have been like the former that I just spoke about, it can be changed. It can be changed by you with the aid of the Holy Spirit. If you're honest, if you're trustworthy, if you're caring, if you're compassionate, if you are loving with that agape love, that phileo love, if you are self-disciplined, if you're humble and meek and God-loving, God-fearing, relying on your Heavenly Father, and you do it in the presence of your sons and your daughters, they will very likely want to follow that. If they see the fruit of God the Holy Spirit active in you, it will be a blessing not only to those who are the beneficiaries of it, but your children who are watching you, who are observing you intently. The fact is this, family, look at your notes. If you are deeply committed to our Lord Jesus and live by biblical teaching, following what I have coined to be the Gnosko principle, your children will probably follow in your footsteps. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. So much depends on what they observe in you, for better or worse. For better or worse, gentlemen. Someone said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. And that's probably what all the men in here are saying right now. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. There is truth in that statement, or I wouldn't have offered it up to you for consideration. Children may not remember what they say or what you say, but they are usually impacted for life by what you do. Don't be one of those dads, granddads, uncles, stepdads who says, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. Consider the task of teaching your boys to be honest. For example, yes, you should teach what Scripture has to say about truthfulness. But you should also take those opportunities that come your way to show your sons and your daughters what it means to live by a higher standard of righteousness that you have learned yourself during those Gnosko times with the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded of something that happened some years ago in the state of Georgia. I was reading an article, and so I thought I would share it with you because it seemed appropriate for where we are this morning. It's about the Bulldogs of Rockdale County High School in Georgia. They overcame a big deficit during their championship basketball game to win it. Go Bulldogs, whoever they are. Coach Cleveland Stroud couldn't have been more proud of his team. I'm sure of that. But it says here in the article, then a few days later, while watching the game films of the playoffs, he noticed that there was an ineligible player on the floor for a count of 45 seconds. He called the Georgia High School Association and reported to them the violation, costing the school the title and the trophy. When asked about it at a press conference, look at your notes, Coach Cleveland Stroud said, some people have said that we should have kept quiet about it, that it was just 45 seconds, and that the player wasn't really an impact player. But you gotta do what's honest and right. I told my team that people forget the scores of basketball games, but they don't forget what you're made of. And that's true. That's true. Exodus 33:14. Moses was spoken to by our Heavenly Father, and he was told to make sure that this got to Granada Hills Community Church on June 21st, 2020. At least I was reading it a couple weeks ago, and so it's here for today. And he said, my presence will go where you go, and I will give you rest. Now, Dad, I know you come home, you're tired from work and so forth and so on, but listen. Listen to what our Heavenly Father says to you as the Father of Fathers. He says, my presence will go with you, VJ. My presence will go with you, Jim. My presence will go with you, Stephen. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So understanding he is walking with us every moment of every day, and that should help to curb, if we have had our gnosko period with him, that should help us not to demonstrate great anger. It should help us not to demonstrate those things that are sinful in our own individual lives. We're remembering he's with us. He goes with us wherever we go. He's involved when we're in those conversations with other men. And some of those men are being very profane about what they say, and they're being demeaning about their boss, or possibly you're being demeaning about your boss. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Trust him. Trust in him, not in the world around you. I guess you have noticed a man does not need a license or a diploma or a college or university degree to become a father. Yet, the job description is one of the toughest imaginable. Looking back at your notes, according to the Word of God, a father encourages and comforts his children, urging them to live lives worthy of God. Urging them to live lives worthy of God. You are being shared with this morning by the Holy Spirit that your sons and your daughters are looking at you. Is your life, dad, granddad, stepdad, uncle, a life that is worthy of God? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul wants us to know what God wanted him to tell us. In chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, for you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk, to live in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we have learned from studying the Word of God together over, some of us for many years, others of us for a few months, we know he never tells us to do anything that is not possible for us to be able to do, because we have been given God the Holy Spirit if we're truly disciples of the Lord. And with his aid, we can do all things. We can accomplish everything that our Heavenly Father asks of us. Dad, you are charged with giving instruction. Not mom, dad. Of course, mom will give instruction, not to usurp yours, but he has made her wise too. But here I'm talking to you, gentlemen. You're charged with giving instruction. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through 9, we hear, "Hear, O Israel," and as you know, I encourage you to do what I like to do. Since I'm reading the Word of God aloud to myself, he's talking to me. This is the living, active, God-breathed out Word of God. And as it's he and I in our gnosko time, it's for us, he and I. And now it's for us, he and all of us. And he says here, because I put my name over Israel. "Hear, O Ron, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Ron, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you, Ron, these words that I command you, Chris, these words that I command you, Ryan, today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your home and of your gates. Now let's look more closely at the text again, men. He says, we are to love the Lord, and he is telling us we need to choose to be involved in a DPE with him. We need to have that gnosko relationship with him. And then we are to obey his commands, because he has told us through his son, if you obey me, you have just shown me that you love me, and you've demonstrated to yourself as well that you love me. And he deserves our love. Loving him was to be wholeheartedly. It was a sacrifice. We were to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, our total being. We offer ourselves up to him every morning as a living, holy sacrifice. The Israelites back then, when they would speak this aloud, they were talking about the same thing, giving their lives in fullness to God. God's people were responsible to meditate on these commandments and to keep them in their hearts. How many of us, even though we have been taught for quite a while, I know through one teacher here, are meditating on the Word of God? Gentlemen, we are to be meditating, thinking deeply on the Word of God. And so obviously that means that you and I are to take up our particular copy of the living, active Word of God and to be reading it. And then allowing for a particular passage possibly to pop out at us, and we sit and we read it again and again, and we think about it and we talk about it with the Lord. And how am I to apply this now in my life? Or is there something here that I can be sharing with my son or with my daughter? Not to be poking my finger at them, but to be leading them in this understanding, this teaching that I am responsible for. If we are going to meditate, then we have to really think deeply about his words. And if we're going to keep them in our hearts, then that's going to require that we memorize portions of the scriptures. And he will show you portions of scripture as you spend your gnosko time with him that are important between he and you. And I would encourage you then to write them down, or to go to your computer and write them down. Create a list that you can take that list and you can go over them as part of your gnosko time. Let him speak to you as he did when he first pointed them out to you in your private time with him. You need to memorize these things. If you write down a scripture at least 10, 12 times, you'll be surprised as to how, I'm remembering, I get it. And if you just memorize one scripture a week, in a whole year, you'll have 52 scriptures under your belt. Now, here's a little hint. You can start with this one in John. It's the shortest scripture in the entire gospel, and it says, Jesus wept. Okay? Now, I've helped you. Now, tomorrow, you pick out another one and start working on it. Now, it matters not if you come up with 52 passages by the end of the year. I'm not asking you to do that sort of thing. What I'm asking of you is to take these portions of scripture during your gnosko time that are important to you and applying in your life to begin to hide them in your heart and in your mind. Do you understand if America, I never thought I would see America the way it is today. And to say that America could go way to the left and we could see Christianity being kicked to the curb completely and becoming something against the law. If you go to jail, you're probably not going to have one of these. And if you did have it on you, they will throw it away. So throw it away. Throw it into your heart. Throw it into your heart. And have the comfort of his messages that you shared in Gnosko, when you're having your Gnosko now without the benefit of the written word in jail. This enables them, this meditating and memorizing of the scripture, this enables people to understand the law and to apply it correctly. Then the parents were in a position, as they're doing this in their lives, to be able to impress these things upon their children's hearts also. The moral and biblical education of a child back then was not taking them to school, setting them in a classroom, and having them sit in rows of chairs, even 6 feet apart now. It wasn't that way. The moral education took place in the home. Took place in the home. It took place around the dinner table. It took place when they got up in the morning and they said their morning prayers. It took place when they were going for a walk. They're taking the dog for a walk. When they were walking down the road because they didn't have cars to go to the marketplace. When they were walking miles and miles and miles, what are we going to see in Jerusalem when we go up there for one feast or the other? They talked about these things. You have the same sort of things, except you may be in a car. Another illustration. Years ago, again when Ronnie was younger, I took him on a father-son weekend at Forest Home. And I thought he was going to really enjoy, you know, crafts and things like that. I didn't really think he was going to be listening too intently to the speakers. But his mother asked him when we got home, what was the most important thing to you over the weekend? I got to talk to Dad all the way up and all the way back. And we left on a Friday night, and that meant 3 hours listening to him all the way up. He just wanted to talk with his dad. Great opportunity to impart the wonderful, loving, living Word of God to one of your children. And if he's not 10 or 11 years old or 12, you can do the same thing at a ball game with your adult son or daughter. These things are available to us, and we're being commanded to do it. The commands to tie them and to write them were taken literally. You may see other Jewish sects that do that today. They wear them so that they're on different places on their body. Many did not. However, I believe the command is probably emphasizing symbolism here. The need for continual teaching of the Word of God, one to yourself, and two, if you're a parent, to your children. You can read more about that in Exodus 13, 9, and 16. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, again, I replace words because I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to Ron. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For me, as I read it, I heard, 'Hear, Ron, your father's instructions, and forsake not what your mother has taught you. For they are a graceful garland for you, for your head, and a pendant for your neck.'" In other words, as you follow your father's instructions, hopefully biblical, as you listen to your mother and her teaching, hopefully biblical, and just practical things about life. These things will be lived out by your life. And this garland looked good in that culture. The pendant looked nice around the neck. They will see in you good things because you listened to your father and you listened to your mother. Dad, you are to discipline your children. In Hebrews 12:2, the writer tells us, "For they disciplined," that is, our earthly fathers, "disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he," our Heavenly Father, "disciplines us." He gives us the discipline to improve our behavior. He disciplines us for our good. Just as you sang, I don't know if you were taking it into your heart and mind, but he is a good, good father. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You know, he's a good, good father. You should be singing this part. Why aren't you singing this part, Eugene? He disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. We may live out this behavior that we see, this divine quality that has been sparked in us by our salvation in Christ and the Holy Spirit living in us. It's not the fleshly quality that's coming out, it's holiness. Dad, you're expected to give good gifts for your children. Listen carefully, kids. Don't quite think what you're thinking. You're being greedy at the moment. I know you. I used to be you. You are expected to give good gifts to your children. Matthew 7:9-11. "Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, Dad, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, give good things to those who ask him?" So he's our example, and he's given us great gifts. He has given us God, the Holy Spirit, to live within us. He has given us Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, our wonderful Savior. He has given us these things. These are things you can be sharing with your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, your granddaughters, your nieces and your nephews. These are great gifts, not just good. These are great gifts. And it talks about here about the bread. You're to continue to make sure that your kids are going to be well fed. And it talks about fish. I don't like that much fish, unless it's in Hawaii. And I may not get to go there this summer. Oh, stop it. You don't believe it either. So, anyway, we need to be remembering. We're going to provide our kids for their food. That's good, kids. That's good. May not be In-N-Out burgers, but it's good. We're going to provide you not only food, but your clothing. You don't have to walk around naked. Dad's going to make sure that you have clothing. He's going to make sure you have a roof over your head. You know, that's nice. If you notice all those tents down the street in downtown L.A., he's going to do better than that for you. Harder still, dads must not exasperate, looking at your notes, his children, as he does the things already mentioned above here. Instead, and most important of all, he is to bring them up in the training and instruction of our Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6:4. The Holy Spirit lays it out for us, dads. Fathers, do not provoke. The Greek term there means to exasperate, to provoke to anger by unreasonable. Think about it when you make a demand of your kids. Is it really reasonable? And think about whether it's petty rules that somehow they got put in place and maybe would do well to be set aside. Or favoritism. That these kinds of things are just going to bring discouragement into children's lives, even grown-up kids. So he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring, but nourish is the term there, but nourish, provide for physical and spiritual needs. Don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, in the paideia, children's discipline, including directing and correcting, the training in righteousness. So don't provoke your children to anger, but nourish, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Children are to obey in the Lord. Kids, are you listening? We're all kids, aren't we? Even at 75. Well, no, I guess I graduated with mom graduating a week ago tonight. Children are to obey in the Lord in Ephesians 6:1. And parents are to train and to instruct in the Lord. He is to be the center of their relationship and their teaching and training. Obviously, we know that. Our lives are no longer about ourselves as parents. Our lives are now seeking the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ in all things, right? Yes. In the face of these enormous responsibilities, you may feel like a high school dropout, guys, going up and applying for a job as a nuclear physicist. And you know that as you hand them that resume, it doesn't measure up. But, I don't like buts, but usually this is a good but. But, don't be discouraged, guys. Don't be discouraged. The Word of God tells us, as you look at your notes, our Heavenly Father will assist us in each of life's heavy responsibilities. It's true. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord will guide you. I'm going to read it like I read it to myself. And the Lord will guide Ron continually. Continually. That is great. And satisfy Ron's desire in a scorched place and make Ron's bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, Ron, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. He's saying to Ron, he will give me guidance, he will satisfy me, he will give me the strength I need in this life. He's talking about fertility too. Don't run away, Kath. And physical restoration. The fact is this, Dad, you can depend on Abba Father, the Father of all fathers, for strength in every parenting challenge. And some of us have really had some significant parenting challenges. No matter what your qualifications might be. Dad, before you say tonight, before you put your head on the pillow tonight, turn off the news early. Take your pad and pen, or go sit down with your laptop and do this, would you? You do it for yourself. Look at the question and answer it. What are your strengths as a father? What are they? Be honest. Don't feel like you're blowing your own horn. This is between you and the Lord. Write out your strengths. Second, what areas of fatherhood do you most need to work on? Be honest. Every single one of us who is a father, grandfather, stepfather, uncle, have areas that need work. Third, are you depending on the Holy Spirit for answers to challenges with your kids? Are you even entering into the gnosko? Do you do that on a daily basis? Do you pray for your whole family as well as yourself every single day? Make sure that DPE is gone, folks. A direct personal experience with Jesus. And fourth, how can you do better in trusting the Lord Jesus as a dad? How can you best do that? So you see, I understand that it's difficult being any one or all of those things, because I are one, and I know it's not easy. And I know that I need the Holy Spirit every step of the way, and a helpful mother of my kids, grandmother to my grandchildren, because she has that motherly and I think deeper insight into all of our kids and our grandkids. She also knows an awful lot about me. So with the Holy Spirit's help, those successes you've had, guys, they can be greater and greater still. And any of those areas that are weak, they can be fixed. They can be worked on. You and the Holy Spirit. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Fellas, you may want to pray along this prayer with me that I've listed there in your notes. Father God, I sometimes feel overwhelmed by the mighty responsibilities of fatherhood, grandfatherhood, being an uncle, being some of you may be stepdads, and you may be feeling overwhelmed too. It's okay to admit these things. He already knows. Abba, help me. Help my brothers to come before you daily, humbly asking for your wisdom as I seek the best for my children, my grandchildren, my spiritual grandchildren, my spiritual children, my nephew and nieces. I need your guidance and your help, for I ask these things sincerely in the name that is above every name, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.